Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That over there is Mr. Benjamin Mandel Kurt Nunez. Hello, Ben. How are you doing?
That's my scientific name. Benjamin Mandel Tunius. Hi, how are you? Yes, I am of the genus Mandelunius. Are you, Ronnie? It's happy Friday. Aren't you excited for today's slate of shows to talk about?
Yep, we've got a lot of them. Today we are doing Beverly Hills, The Valley, and dun-dun-dun, The Traitors. So join us. We'll be here all day. So should you be. Everybody, welcome to the show on the 27th of February in a couple weeks, less than a couple weeks. That's terrifying. Two weeks almost exactly.
That's 2 weeks from today.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm not ready.
Sorry.
Is the Golden Crappies in Hollywood. It's going to be so much fun. Get your tickets. They're pretty much gone. So plan on getting live streaming tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. There might be like 10 tickets left if you do want to come. Get those at watchwhatcrappens.com, guys. Live streaming through Kizwee the same night. It's going to be amazing. Also, if you want our video recaps or bonus episodes or newsletter, which is free, by the way, and it's weekly. Or what else is there over there? Bonus episodes, videos,
Discord community, newsletter,
Discord, all that good stuff.
Ad-free.
Go over to patreon.com and ad-free listing. That's right. And also voting. We are just finishing up round one voting. So we've got all the nominations together. Today. And now it's time to vote on the actual awards. That starts on Monday. So find us on social, you know, Instagram or Patreon. Or watchwhatcrappens.com. You'll find links for it all there. Join us for that. We're super excited. Also, we wanted to shout out our friend Sue Funk. Sue Funk, F-U-N-K-E, Sue Funky, is a comedian. She's a really close friend of ours, a really funny comic. And she came out with her first comedy album today, which is called Congratulations. Like congratulations and sorry mixed together. Okay. So go check it out. It's on all the streaming platforms. You can also find her links at thesuefunk.com. We love Sue. Go support Sue. Congratulations,
Sue. Literally
love
Sue. You know, people, I don't know if people realize, just in terms of, because I'm going to make it about us, but like when we put on the Crappies, it has become over the years, it has become a full-fledged, like, it is a production, a true production, and we call upon our friends to help us backstage with everything, and Sue has helped out with the past few, and like her help has been, she's like, thrown herself into it. And so like, let's all give back to Sue. Cause like the show, part of the reason why the crappies even is able to go forward is because Sue has helped out so much. So everyone go listen to her album. And thank you, Sue. You're the best.
We love you, Sue. We love you, Susie Q. Okay. So let's get on with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Season 15, episode 9, Vacation and Manifestation.
Yes, darling. By the way, okay, so I'm excited, Ronnie. So about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we went on to Amy O'Dell's podcast called Back Row. We were talking about Beverly Hills for an hour, talking about fashion. We mentioned this all before. And Amy asked us to give letter grades to various housewives. And she asked us about Rachel Zoe. And I gave Rachel Zoe a C. I gave Rachel Zoe a C because I felt like she's been fine, but not anything special. And she's not obviously very confrontational, but it's almost like the moment I gave her the C was the moment I felt like she bloomed for me. It's almost like, did I make Rachel Zoe better? Was it me? Guys, can I take credit for this? But for real, I felt like the first half of the season, Rachel Zoe was kind of just there and saying some things, but I felt like I wanted more from her. And then it's either I wrap my head around Rachel Zoe, or now Rachel Zoe got comfortable enough where we could start to see kind of like a little bit more than just, I don't know, than what she had been giving. That now I think she has really like become really good all of a sudden. And in fact, I think the entire show has suddenly had a massive turnaround in the past 2 weeks. Like I loved last night's episode. What do you think about all these things, Ronnie?
I still like Rachel. I think she's doing great. She took her midterm progress report and she was like, you know what? I'm like going to be dead, but louder. And, she's doing great. I don't know. Massive turnaround. I don't know. I still enjoy the show. I mean, you know, it's not one of the most exciting shows to me, but I still always enjoy watching it. It's always a good hour. And I really like this one where they all calmly gave Amanda the business. I thought that was really funny. Amanda with her bullshit business of charging people 50 grand to learn to manifest. Y'all buy a book. It's $5. Get it on your Kindle.
That whole thing was hilarious. It was good.
It was funny. And her dress was so stupid too. I'm like, I hope she cuts herself on that thing. Cause the dress is all like those golden butterflies like hanging off of it. And you know, like a paper will cut you. So that's got to cut you, you know, in some way. And I was like, you deserve it. Yeah. You robber, you burglar.
Well, I guess the reason why I call it a massive turnaround is because prior to 2 weeks ago or last week, the show was just fully boring. Nothing was happening. It was just scenes of them having dinner and had no heartbeat whatsoever. It was just so dull. And then you had Rachel's blackout party. And then I was like, oh, signs of life coming around here. And then I was like, okay, now we have a good episode. And then the episode we're about to recap, I thought was like legitimately very funny. And I think, you know, Dorit being unhinged is great. And I just think it's like going in the right direction. And I'm just like really happy. It's like, okay, the show, it's come out of its coma. Okay. And now it's fallen in love with Sandra Bullock. I'm so happy.
Its eyebrows are still a little weird, but we love it all the same.
Yeah.
So here we go. We're at Rachel's house. She's like, I've got sunglasses on inside because I'm literally insane. Like there are people in my bushes right now. It's crazy. Okay. Director of Business Development, Mary Elizabeth, let's talk. Okay.
So she's like, well, Rachel, we have some scheduling stuff to figure out. Wow. Like I'm incredibly burned out already just by that sentence. Like I was like a candle, and guess what? All the wax just like went away, and I'm just like burnt out now. Like I have not been to the Hamptons, and I'm normally there the entire summer with like much more interesting and cooler people than I'm stuck with this summer. And I can't do it anymore. I honestly miss my New York friends like so much, Like I can't, I'm dead.
Rachel's whole, like I'm depressed without the Hamptons is cracking me up. I love that she's so dedicated. Right? Like every week she's like, I can't live without being in the Hamptons. Like, what am I even doing here? I should be in the Hamptons right now. Like, what am I doing? I'm losing my fucking mind. Please get me to the Hamptons.
Like Rachel Zoe is so funny to me because I think that she's like blatantly status obsessed. Like she's blatantly wants to, like there's like a crowd of people who she's like, these are like my people, but they're like the cooler, more famous, more wealthy people, whatever, or maybe not necessarily more wealthy because there's actually a lot of money in Beverly Hills. But like, there's a sense that she wants to be with the true fashion people, the true chic people. And she's stuck on this show because she had to Bravo offered a good deal. So she went for it. And she's like, I can't do it. I need to be with the chic people again. And it's like, you know, on a different show, we'd be like, wow, how pretentious of her. Like, she thinks she's better. But in this show, it's so funny to me. She's like, I got to get out of here. I cannot be around Amanda Francis any longer. Take me to the Hamptons.
I mean, look what happens in Beverly Hills in the summer. Amanda Francis. Okay. Yeah. That's who's me not wanting in the Hamptons this summer. Get me out of here.
I need to go to the Hamptons. Look how vulnerable I just was saying that I need the Hamptons in my life. I'm like so vulnerable about the Hamptons right now.
Yeah. The Hamptons is home for me. Like, I'm from New York. It's literally my happiest place. Like, it's where every major life event has happened. My ex proposed to me there. Every birthday I've ever had was there. Every single birthday I've ever had was in New York. It's pretty important.
There are literally pictures of me naked as, like, a one-year-old in the dunes of Amaganta. I can hear her to say Amaganta. Like, for an entire hour. You guys go to Amaganta. Oh my god, I've been in Amaganta since I was 1 year old, naked. Naked
in literal naked 1 year old pictures of me in Amaganta.
Of course she loves Amaganta, because if you say Amaganta the way Rachel Zoe says it, it sounds like she's saying, oh my god. Amaganta.
So then we do see little pictures of Rachel as a toddler in Amaganta. But you know, you can't show naked babies on TV. So she's wearing like a little, they've like, you know, photoshopped like a little feather boa, you know, a caftan on her. Yeah.
She says, I hate petty mean girl shit. I hate it. And that's why this episode, I'm going to make sure to take only two people to the cool place. Yeah. I hate Mean Girls yet.
Yeah. That's true, huh? She's like, so I'm going to like not include the non-cool people on my trip. You know, like I hope Kyle and Tariq can get along because nothing would make me happier. I mean, literally being in the Hamptons naked and I'm a concert would. But like, seriously, if I could bring Dorit, like Dorit needs to go out. Like what? And then Kyle's like, I'm not drinking, whatever. I get tired, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? One of my friends has like 5 bedrooms. So she's like, take my house, stay here. Like, I don't care. If you have sober people who are tired, bring them. Like, what do I care? We don't judge here. We're not mean girls.
Yeah. I was like, just do whatever you can do to get me back to Amagansett. So Rachel FaceTimes Dorit and she's like, guess what? I'm about to make you smile. She goes, wow, well, I'm so excited. I don't even know what this is yet, but I'm already so excited about it. Well, don't get that excited. Okay, it's not like I'm taking you to Amagansett. I want you to come to the Hamptons with me.
Rachel! Honestly, you don't even know how much I need this.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
It's like, did someone's soul literally get ripped from their body? Was there a horror movie happening?
But here's the thing. It's going to be you, me, and Kyle. Reverse. However you want to do that in your mind. Just do a reverse version of that.
Tariq goes, there's nothing that could make me upset right now. Not even the idea that stupid little imp would be joining us in the Hamptons. So,
not even that little cross-eyed garden gnome will be joining us in the Hamptons.
Well, it's so nice to know that we'll be actually traveling somewhere with a real-life Travelocity gnome.
Things have been so shitty recently, so I don't give a shit where Kyle left off. She's gonna have to play nice, and there's nothing that's gonna stop me from having food this weekend.
See, Dorit is smart. Dorit, I think, sees
literally no one has ever said that, so
I know, sorry. I'm
the first time for everything over here.
It's crazy. Things are topsy-turvy. It's like, I just manifested that. Dorit, I should say, well, I'm going to say Dorit is savvy. No, people don't say that. But the truth is, Rachel Dorit Zoe is poor. Dorit is poor. No, Rachel Zoe is Dorit's on-ramp into the inner echelons of fashion, which is where Dorit, also known as the proprietor of Beverly Beach, wants to be. It's like the Punta Cana. That's where you want to be, okay? And so
Punta Cana. Normally, we're spending our summer in the Punta Cana.
That's where you go. So she is like, Rachel Zoe is inviting me to the Hamptons. I'm probably going to get to go have dinner somewhere where, I don't know, Donna Karen's going to come stumbling over to the table. I'm just going to say yes, and I don't care what twists or turns that she throws my way. I'm just going to say yes, no questions asked. So she gets it and she's like, absolutely. There's no reason. I would never be upset with anyone who might join us on this trip. I mean, like you could have had like, I don't know who's Dorit's biggest rival. I don't know if she's ever had a major, major rival.
Garcelle.
Vanderpump. She would have been happy. Yeah. So she was like unfazed by the fact that Kyle would be coming on this trip.
You know, she's just getting somebody to pay for her to go out of town. She like literally doesn't care. She's going. And so she calls Kyle next. And Kyle is, of course, staring at herself on the FaceTime, like fluffing her hair. Like, oh, my God. Hi. Yeah. Like looking at herself in all the different angles. Like, Kyle, do you not look at yourself enough? Jesus. It's like, well, you know how you've been talking about like hot girl summer and we've been having like an opposite of that? It's been like cold girl summer. Like it's been Pashmina summer and I'm over it. We're going to the Hamptons. We're going.
And Kyle's like, oh my God. Well, yeah, I'm going to say yes. Yeah, cool. And then Rachel's like, have you spoken to Dorit? And she's like, well, Dorit and I haven't spoken at all, but I have spoken to PK, who's told me that she's cray cray. Right? And Rachel's like, well, I also invited Dorit because I feel like she really needs to get out. So then Kyle, unlike Dorit, Kyle does like a whole face and looks left and right and is like, like totally registers her dismay. It's like, Kyle, just say, thank you so much for the invitation. I would love to come to the Hamptons with you. But of course she has to be so rude about it. And then she's always wondering why she's not viewed as a girl's girl.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know my reaction of going to the Hamptons with Dorit. Be like, I don't know. That's a long time. Because you don't just go right into the Hamptons, right? Don't you have to fly to New York and then drive to the Hamptons? Or is there like a little airport? There must be a little airport out there now, isn't there? Or
there is a little airport, but they did not take the – I think they took the schlep route. The little airport, I think, is a big pain in the arse. So I think you go to JFK and then you either take a car or –
you drive for a couple hours at least. How long is the, the drive? Like 3 hours, right?
Put on a diaper and get out there.
Get on the jitney. Yeah, like Sonia.
Ronnie, I love you're like, isn't it kind of a schlep to get out there? I was like, as if we haven't watched Summer House for 10 years in a row, watching them drive out there every single episode.
Yeah, that's true. And I've done it myself. And but then the reason I was doubting myself is because I was like, well, maybe rich people like do the, like a helicopter from the airport to the thing. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what rich
Mauricio is definitely doing the helicopter at the airport, I'm sure.
But yeah, it's like a schlep, and then you're not only stuck on the plane with Dorit, you're stuck, you know, in a car with Dorit for 3 hours. It's like a whole thing, you know. So yeah, I don't know that I'd be happy either. But you know, you're shooting, so just go. So she agrees to go. Like,
I was just trying to, you know, the thing is this: is this the strongest anti-Kyle point in the world that she made a face when she was invited, and you know, and knowing that she have to spend this fun time with Dorit? It's not the strongest anti-Kyle point, but I just can't miss an opportunity to add another piece of evidence into the anti-Kyle file, which is that, you know, Rachel invited her to go to the Hamptons, which is pretty cool. And Kyle can't just say, oh my God, yeah, awesome. Just be like, sure, like no problem. I'm fine with Dorit. I'll be fine. And then Kyle wants us to be on her side. I'm like, you're the one who is you're the guilty party in this situation, even when you make your face on the FaceTime thing. I am done on this point and we can move on.
You don't have to be. I'm enjoying it.
There's nothing more
here
to say about it.
I'm on the 3-hour ride right now to the Hamptons. I'm just like, whatever happens. Yeah.
I just pooped my dipe. I pooped my dipe on the jitney with that really important point.
So now we go to Amanda's house, and her toddlers are all over the place. Kanan and Delilah, and the assistant's helping out because Amanda is setting up for a party. And Amanda's like, oh my God, do we get everything we need for the party? And she's like, yeah, we got bags and journals. Oh God. The second I heard journals, I was like, this is not a friend.
Bags and journals. Yeah. Amanda's like, and did we get copies of for everyone of my book, Rich's Fuck? Because I'll sign it for them. I'm sure that's what exactly these women are looking forward to. Sutton, who's on the board of ABT, is like, oh, I do hope I get a signed edition of The Money Queen. So
rich ass fuck. Can't wait. It'll be worth it just to see Reba flipping through it.
I know. Reba's like, can I manifest an anvil falling on this ding-dong's head?
Yeah, so Amanda says, I feel like I'm not really understood by these women, so I'm going to have, like, a party, and they're going to really understand me better. Amanda, they understand you, and they don't like you. Okay, you're not some mystery, okay? You're some lady who's taking pop psychology from the 60s, 70s, and 80s that is like a dollar in the used bookstore and repurposing it for $50,000 to bored housewives who are going into extreme debt to pay for it, okay? You're a monster.
Yeah, you're the worst. Yeah. So Amanda now does the ritual of FaceTiming everyone and saying, hi, and she has this like really high voice when she's trying to be nice. She's like, I am having a dinner called the Manifestation Moment Dinner. And Erica's like, oh, wow, love that idea. Love that idea. Sorry, I was talking to my dog who just proposed me feeding him. I said, I love that idea. I'm going to do that after this phone call. What were you asking about, hon?
Listen, you could have just stopped at man, okay?
Yeah, we're going to a man fest. Can't wait.
So next is Sutton. And Sutton's like, wow, manifestation. That's fun. Great. And then Bose is like, what? Manifestation party? What the hell kind of name is that? The name for dinner party is that?
And they show Bose's, and she goes, no, I think it's going to be a moment. And then you see Bose's face in the FaceTime looking at her like, What's wrong with you, girl? Rose is like, I am so confused. You're ridiculous.
And Amanda's like, I think it's going to be a moment. She's like, oh, God. So Amanda says, yeah, like other than a really small group of online haters, like I'm typically praised for what I do. The bots I hire from China all leave me really good comments. So I'm not sure what these people are talking about because I'm loved. So I'm going to approach this at like, you know, I'm inviting them into my home. I'm sharing with them something I love. I'm opening up my world. I'm talking about manifestation and hopefully we'll understand each other a little bit better. Yeah. You're going to look at the pages of those journals when you leave and they're all going to say Red Rum over and over again, page after page.
Honestly, Amanda is such a great casting choice for the show because she is so full of it. She's so full of bullshit. And it is so funny to see everyone reacting to her. Like, it is pure comedy. I love it so much. I mean, she's awful. She's awful in so many different ways. But wow, is this, like, not hilarious. So Amanda and Anna, her assistant, are talking still. And Amanda's like, one thing that I'm learning about these ladies is that they're all working on, like, big things and big goals. And when I'm in that situation, I try to manifest the fuck out of it. And I'm going to just have them do some of my classic journal prompts about manifestation at the table. So get ready, Sunstrack. You're going to get a classic journal prompt instead of going to the Hamptons.
And because you're all idiots, Amanda's like, journaling is like writing down your goals and your dreams and desires. It's an opportunity for self-reflection, emotional regulation, and clarity. Have you read any of yours? How could anyone like you write this stuff down and still believe it afterwards? You're so full of shit. So she wants everyone to create their best lives. And her assistant, who's making like minimum wage and, you know, harrying kids and dealing with kids and all of this other shit, is just like, wow, sounds like good vibes. I'm sure it works, which is why I'm stuck in this fucking predicament.
I just started watching I Love L.A., and it's basically, if you took that entire show and just like poured it into one person, it's Amanda. Just ridiculous stereotypes of Los Angeles all just rolled up in one vapid, toothy person.
Toothy.
So,
vapid, toothy person.
I don't know why. She just sort of has that like Cheshire smile grin, you know, like a charlatan would. So now Dorit is in the backseat of the car. She's sipping a juice and sighing. Our note taker pointed that out, which I think is such a funny,
oh, juice.
Well, Dorit solo in a car scenes are more the norm now because she doesn't really have anyone to get ready with or, you know, do all of that. So I'm really enjoying the Dorit, like, well. We can at least do a scene of me sipping a juice in the car. And she'll just make the whole thing out of it. Like when she is like, I need a Coca-Cola or I can't come on with me day. Remember in the first episode, walking around her kitchen, talking about how much she loves Coca-Cola.
Driving down the street, drinking G and juice in my Chevy Tahoe laid back. Well, I've spent months trying to get Piki to talk to me. I don't know what his intentions are. I don't know where his head is. Where is it? Where is his head?
But he's walking around a torso without any heads. They said he went over to Sleepy Hollow. I said, what does that even mean? Where is his head? He's riding a horse made of Pringles. I don't know where his head is.
He's just a sack of flour. Wandering around VIP stations around the city, making out with youngsters. I'm in limbo, and I have no control. I need to do something about it. So I'm going to go piss him off via his best friend at a restaurant. And it's called Lady Hawk.
Lady Hawk, which, by the way, is a restaurant. The chef, I believe the chef of Lady Hawk is Charbel, who is on Top Chef 20 World All-Stars. There you go, everyone. Little Bravo Easter egg in there. So Dorit,
I just think it's funny. She's going into a place called Lady Hawk when she's like two steps from being that lady who has to hawk everything just to pay her rent. This is too on the nose.
Lady Hawk.
Too on the nose. Yeah.
So
go to Gracias Madre. Ask for some help.
She needs to go to Voodoo Donuts, maybe. That's what she really needs to deal with the PK situation. So Dorit enters. So Mauricio was there, which means we get yet another scene of Mauricio on Bravo. Well, this is his home turf, but still, it's like a lot of Mauricio these days.
It's a and, lot. It's like his fifth time in a week. Go away.
And again, it's another scene of him looking at Dorit like he's trying to read something on his laptop. Furrowed brows, then open, then furrowed, and then trying to figure out how to zoom in, and then he zooms in too much.
Something's happening here. I sense lady feelings. Hold on. Let me give you my face for lady emotions.
He literally looks like, is he auditioning to be in stock footage? It's like, I need some stock footage of a man smiling. And he's like, ha, smile. It's like, now he's confused.
We need stock footage for Google Maps of somebody just lost. Okay, could you just give us lost face? I don't know what you mean. Okay, a woman is feeling something. Oh, what? What is that? A stoplight? What?
I don't understand.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, Dorit orders for a classic
I'll
drink.
I'll have a Belvedere on the rocks, and I'll have three limones, and squeeze them in. Just squeeze them in. But don't... God, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it. Don't say carcass out. Don't say...
Look, she's trying so hard not to say carcass out. But you see in her face that she knows now she's going to get a drink with three damn lemons taking up the space. And she's pissed. Yes. But she doesn't want to give Mauricio the satisfaction of saying carcass out, because she knows that he'll make fun of him in his mind. He'll make fun of her in his mind.
Mauricio, I basically am a carcass in my own glass, thanks to PK.
And Susan, well, thank you very much for inviting me.
I'm trying not to say carcass out after I said it so many times, and then PK left. Turns out, manifesting does work.
Thank you for inviting me to do this. I hope I can be of help. I'm not here to take sides, only to advocate for PK's side. Okay, tell me what you want to say. So she's like,
well, I would like for PK and I to not be on opposite sides, okay? I want to be, you know, because it's, the thing is, what the old joke is about when your mama is so big that when she walks around the block, she's around the block.
I think you got that joke wrong, and
I'm just trying to make a joke about PK and size to lighten up the mood a little bit, Mauricio.
I'm not really following the yo mama and the PK thing a little bit. You want to start from the top?
Well, I literally cannot get PK to communicato with me, and I'm hoping Mo can nudge him to get on the same page, because that's what's best for the kids. Now, I don't know what PK is saying to you.
And he's like, well, you know, I know he'd like to have a schedule with the kids, you know, actually be able to see them.
Well, I want him involved in their lives, Mo. I do, Mo. Involved in their lives. You know, I've started covering little Jaggy in powdered sugar just to get his father to pay any sort of attention to him. It hasn't worked. Now I've just got a child with allergies.
Hopefully it all works out, right? He just is like, doesn't know what to say at any point. She's,
and I'm not restricting him from them at all.
She goes, well, I mean, so according to him, he's texted you asking to see the kids and asking to be with the kids. And she's like,
he has never texted me once asking me to see the kids.
Well, he's shown me his phone and I've scrolled up and down and senior replies and his replies and conversations about the kids and conversations about him asking for a schedule, you know. And he's like,
look, this
he's
is like how I do it. Hand. I scroll up and I scroll down and I scroll up again and I scroll down again.
That's how you know I've done it, because I can actually mimic the action of scrolling up and down with my finger. Yeah.
Mo, listen to me. Okay. Paint. You're painting a fence.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wax on, wax off.
No, it's not charades. I'm doing scrolling up and down on the phone.
Oh, Karate Kid. Got it. Nailed it.
He will tailor a story and make sure it's very one-sided, Mo.
And Marisa's like, well, I mean, I've seen it all. Like, I promise you, I've seen the spreadsheets for his plan for the money. I'm like, well, him having spreadsheets is one thing. Him actually communicating that or anything with Dorit is a whole other thing. You know, I don't know. I mean, when Mauricio says he's seen the text messages, his vibe is kind of like, I've seen it. I've seen that he's texted you. It is kind of convincing, but I also have to imagine that this is very selective on PK's part to make him look like he's in the best light. And I just have to believe Dorit on this, you know?
I mean, I believe PK too, though. I do believe that, look, no one's going to tell the exact whole truth. Like, she's getting her side to say her thing, and he's been using his side to say all of PK's things. So they're basically just saying that the other one is a bad parent. You know, PK never shows up. Dorit is trying to turn the kids against him. I mean, it's kind of typical in a divorce. But I do believe that PK's probably said, yeah, I want to see the kids or whatever. Mauricio's seen the text. I believe that. The thing is, PK's doing that so he can then show his friend, look, I sent these texts and she's not answering me. PK's been out of town months at a time. We all know that. He's not arguing that. So how is he going to see the kids if he's not even here? And he's trying to cut the mom off for the money and leave her with this mortgage that he put everything in her name to fuck her over with. So PK is fucking her over, no matter how Mauricio wants to slice it and dice it and be like, okay, wow, he wants to see the kids. Well, that's nice because he's been gone for 6 weeks in a row and he's about to leave for another 2 months. So where are we going with that, Mauricio? Yeah. Like, come on, you dick. And of course, Mauricio is going to come up here and stand for the other terrible man on the show.
Of course he will.
Yeah, team Dorit.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that PK has sent texts being like, can I see the kids? Like, well, you better do it on my time. He's like, well, I'll be there in 6 weeks. I better see them because you're a terrible mother. So he's probably sending her texts to get evidence.
Yeah, and I feel like Mauricio, his role, first of all, if I were him, I would not have even agreed to do this, honestly. Like it's not, you're going to just always lose. It's just stay out of it. Let the two of them deal with it. But I think his energy should have been more like, you know, PK has shown me texts that seem to indicate otherwise. So maybe you could show me and like we can sort of piece together where the gaps are because I can be a third party. I can see how you guys are miscommunicating. But his was kind of like, no, you're crazy. PK does text you. PK does text you. He does. And that's like not helpful at all.
Yeah, he's like, but he sent them to me, showed me everything, you know, and she's like, look at me, Mel. And he's like, but okay, but then you haven't opened them then because they're in your text. I promise you, look at your text. She's like, Mo, let me break out my text and see this proposal I've never seen. Oh, June 20th. Oh, still don't have a proposal. Where is that? And he's like, but I can only tell you what I've seen. And I've seen it. I've seen it myself. The Google sheet. I've seen the Google sheet.
Gee, I know PK's tactics and his game, and he'll isolate texts and send them to people or show people when he's with them and be like, look, look. But he omits the context, and it's very easy for PK to peddle a false narrative when I'm not around to defend myself. And this is the same old, Mo. Same old.
He's like, well, I think we're derailing the conversation into the wrong space. Okay, so let's go one thing. Let's attack one thing at a time. He's telling me he wants to see the kids, and you're telling me he wants to see the you're telling me you want him to see the kids. So where are the kids?
Well, they're covered in powdered sugar. You can't see them. They match the tablecloth. Jaggy's right there.
I don't see him.
You see?
They're not very important for properly. Me.
I want my children to see their father, but I don't want them to be scared. So until we find out where his head is, we cannot have the children see him in this state.
I want them to see their father, but I also don't want them to realize that they've been talking to an uncooked croissant.
So Mauricio is like, now he's like, he's taking off his jacket, his arms are crossed. So he sort of has more of a hostile stance. And she's like, well, go tell your friend and say, PK, what is the matter with you? Dorit has tried to sit down and speak to you. Tell him he's got a thing about the kids, and I'm on his side. I'm actually on his side about this.
Like, oh, okay.
But I'm not his enemy. I'm not keeping him from the kids.
Okay.
Well, I know what's going on with him, and I want to share. I want him to be involved. I need him to be involved. Did you know that Jiggy only asks for his grandfather now? He doesn't even remember his father.
Yeah, love it. Great. Okay, cool. Okay, so I'm going to go tell PK Dorit is crazy Cocoa Puffs. Okay, got it.
But if he's going to be involved, he has to show up clear-headed.
He's like, what? He's 100% will do that. He's always clear-headed.
Mo, he started drinking again.
He's like, well, you know, you've not been with him. He's not drinking every day. He's not over-drinking. When we go to dinner, he orders a glass of wine, maybe 8. You know, we're not pounding it. That's not what he's doing.
I'm not talking about wine. I'm talking about Bisquick. He's drinking Bisquick. He needs to stop right away.
Well, he didn't just quit drinking for a year as a casual thing, Mauricio. He stopped drinking because he needs to stop
drinking. He's like, well, there's two sides to every story, you know? There's different perceptions, you know? Some people can say the alphabet backwards because they practice it. What are you going to do?
Sounds like you guys just need to talk.
I'm like, yeah, that's the whole reason why you're here is because he won't talk to Dorit. This is Mauricio being like, okay, this Hello? Is getting, I can't do this anymore. Now you're accusing him of being a full-blown alcoholic again.
Yeah, exactly. So now we're moving on to his alcoholism. Now, I don't know, you know, I know that she's talking to him as a friend and being like, okay, well, you need to help him or whatever. But I don't know. There's just some things I don't think you can go to the friend to do. Like, make him stop drinking and tell him to show up sober, too. I mean, Dorit, yeah. Really what she needs to do, you know, Dorit gets pissed because she thought that this was going to be a huge help. And of course, Mauricio is not even trying to hide that he's kind of hostile here. Right. He's like, I'm on PK's side. You're nuts. I've seen all these text messages. You're trying to make him look like a bad dad. And that's his stance. And Dorit's like, well, OK, then remind him he's an alcoholic. And if he wants to see his kids, it's just not the right way to do this, Dorit. You need to get a forensic accountant because she tells us again in this episode, she still has no idea how much money there is, where the money is, because PK keeps redacting everything. You need to get a forensic. He's got you. He's got you by the toes right now because of money. You need to get a lawyer.
This is crazy. So I don't like this is these are areas I don't know and I don't understand. I don't know why PK is allowed to have redacted elements of his financial records. I don't know why this is the way it is, but if there is a professional that Dorit could be using to help her, she needs to get that professional in her life. I don't know if it's like, oh, if it's, I don't know, like, because there's all these different tiers of divorce, mediation, and this is sealed and unsealed, like, and I'm learning it all from Bravo, you know? And so I don't know what realm her divorce is in, but what I do know is, like, I feel like she should be able to get those numbers about what money he has and how much that she is owed.
Once you file, you're supposed to get a lawyer. They freeze all of that shit and they do forensic recount. They do forensic accounting and they get all that information. He can't just redact it. I mean, who's his lawyer? Pam Bondi? You don't get to just redact the whole thing.
This divorce is taking place in Culver City. So everyone watch out. Put on your bulletproof vests.
Jesus. Yeah, this is crazy. She needs to stop worrying about Mauricio or PK or visitation or all that shit. And she needs to get a fucking lawyer and she needs to get a financial. That's she the needs thing. To get a forensic accountant.
This is such a waste of time to go. She shouldn't have really, I think, gone to Mauricio in the first place. I mean, I'm sure realistically it was Bravo. Bravo's like, we need to have you guys have a scene. Mauricio should not be involved in between two people who are getting divorced. You do not want to put yourself in that position ever. I mean, even if it's just a breakup, just like a regular breakup, it's not even a divorce. You don't want to be in that position, but a divorce is like, it gets messy. You just steer clear of all of that. And but it also feels like Dorit, like this feels almost like a weird lateral move. You need to, in my own unexpert legal opinion, get a lawyer, get someone who goes through the proper channels to deal with this, because going through Mauricio, waste of time.
Mauricio, yeah. And it feels funny, like it feels like what she's trying to do is she's got Kyle, you know, kind of saying what PK is saying to Mauricio. So PK is getting his side out, even not being on camera. He's painting Dorit as being like crazy and holding the kids from him. Right. And so she's like, well, that's not fair. So then I'll get the story out by, if Kyle's not going to support me and let me get the story out, then I'll have Mauricio over here and I'll get the story out to Mauricio. And then that's how I'll kind of, but you can't do it through Mauricio because Mauricio is not your friend. You know, he acted like your friend, but ultimately it's the guys who were friends, never you guys.
And what it also further confirms is that like Kyle obviously is getting her intel either directly from PK or from Mauricio. And actually we see a clip of it. Like, and this is not, that's not a shock, but it also goes to show that Kyle would rather take Mauricio's word over this whole situation than the words of her alleged friend, you know? And I think that's kind of shitty.
Yeah. So we go to Sutton's house and she has a new puppy and she FaceTimes Porter to show her the puppy. And it's Aussie, her new dog. Okay. And I need to talk to you. The Pope sent Ozzy a letter, and it was addressed to Ozzy Brown. Big deal. Big deal.
How do you feel about the fact that I got a dog and I named it a name that sort of sounds like Avi, but not quite? It's like, I don't care. Well, guess what? Also, the Pope wants me to be called Sutton Brown, not Sutton Strack anymore. Do you have any feelings about that? She's like, I don't care, mother. I'm just trying to put in my order at Chipotle.
But she's like, I don't have to go by Brown, do I?
No, but I always thought I'd have the same last name as my daughter. She's like, Mom, you're breaking up right now. Bye, Mom.
It's like Brown, like Charlie. Well, I've never really thought of it like that one. Mommy couldn't even kick a football. Well, I really didn't think about it like that. Listen, I'm trying to have a storyline. I'm alone in the house. I got a dog that rhymes with Avi, so I can finally have somebody in my life working for me that doesn't, you know, go against an NDA. So just please, please. Porter's like, you're stupid and your time on the show is over. Okay. All you have to talk about is the last name that nobody cares about. Okay. The Pope doesn't even want to talk about this, mother. Okay. The Pope has canceled you. Get off this show.
Fine. I'll bore America with it. Well, America, here I am, 50, changing my name. I never thought it would happen. You know, I'm an empty nester now. My baby birds have left. Literally, I had some baby birds. They just flew out the window. Cannot keep a window open. That's the real story with Avi, by the way. Left that window open. Lost my baby birds. Anyway, and to name on top of that, now I'm just Brown. You just call me Sutton K. Brown.
Downtown Sutton Brown. So I'm known. Who am I? So, where am I going?
Yeah.
What's my identity? I mean, am I Brown? Sutton, you need more. You need more. You need to get Avi over here and fight. Something needs to happen because this is you're fired. Okay, so we got to
a boring downward spiral in her living room. It's the bad. Who am I?
Am I my resume? Well, am I Brown? Who am I? So then we go to Dorit's house, and Dorit is packing for the Hintoons. And she's like, oh, this might be the start to an actual hot girl's meal.
Yes. And then she's really happy because she has her little mini Kelly Hermes bag that she's matching. And then we go to Kyle's house, and this was funny to me. So she's packing with Jen, her friend, and Kyle's like, yeah, this is going to be a hot girl summer, Jen. And Jen goes, are we still saying hot girl summer? I thought that was like 2 summers ago. I was like, thank you for someone finally acknowledging this. This is what I've been thinking all season. I can't believe I didn't really articulate it on the show, but I was like, isn't hot girl summer kind of like, isn't that like passe? And then Kyle goes, yeah, but Rachel doesn't know that. And she keeps saying it. So I'm just going along with it. And I was like, wow, it's bad when even Kyle knows.
Did Kyle know though? Remember when Kyle was like, not. My eyebrows are on fleek.
This hot girl summer's on fleek. Yeah. Can't wait to be Audi 5000 to Beverly Hills.
So Dana, Rachel's assistant, is pulling all of her caftans out. And she's like, oh, my God, love Dolce. Oh, my God, this is vintage Pucci that I got at the vintage show. Do you remember? Oh, my God, Joanna Ortiz caftan. She is the Hamptons. All of these are classic Hamptons. And they're all the same caftan. It's just all the same caftan, slightly different. Rachel can find a vintage caftan wherever she goes. It's a talent.
Someone is banging on my door. Hold on one second. There's someone from FedEx here. 1 second.
Jealous. Who am I?
I'm so sorry about that. He was banging and Dom wasn't here to open the door.
Well, that's quite all right, isn't it?
He wasn't leaving the package. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
So, yeah, vintage Pucci, Joanna Ortiz caftan, vintage Chloe dress, priceless.
I love how surprised she is. Surprised she is by all the items in her closet. Oh my God, a Chloe dress. Oh my God, Karl Lagerfeld. Oh, that was from like when Karl Lagerfeld was there. Oh my God, Chanel. I love this Chanel. Oh my God, there's the kaleidoscope from Sedona. Oh my God.
It's just the watching someone that excited to look like Mrs. Roper cracks me.
Well, who wouldn't be, honestly?
Family, I'm dead.
Actually, it's really endearing. It's like very funny to me, but it's really endearing. This is someone who loves fashion on like a deep, deep level. That when she sees an item that she bought, like she acts like someone just brought this to her. Like she was at like a restaurant and someone says, Ms. Zoe, special order for you. And then they bring out like a Chanel dress. But these are things that she already has acquired, but she's just so excited to like rediscover them again in her closet.
Yeah. She's like, for me, I approach the Hamptons like I approach the south of France. Like caftans, backless dresses, gold jewelry. You're not supposed to wear heels in the Hamptons. I don't care. Because I'm me. I do whatever I fucking want to. This is hot girl summer.
Yeah, because you know what? That's not me. Said me, never. I don't know if I even understand that. It is me. So now we go to the LAX luxury terminal, the place where the celebrities, I guess, go. There's some sort of like satellite space. This is what's so funny. Here's what's funny about celebrity culture. It's like, hey, you're so famous, you don't even have to go into the main terminal. We're going to give you your own special little spot. And it's basically like, it looks like Avis rental car, you know, it's like, it's this tiny little thing where they put out like a fruit platter, but because it's like far away from everyone else, it's like, ooh, the height of luxury.
Sounds good to me.
Avis desk. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's great to be away.
It's like when we were always trying to get into those airport lounges. We're like, oh my God, our dream when we're touring is to go to an airport lounge. So we got all the right credit cards, you know, like it took us a while, but like we worked our way into those lounges and then we finally get into the lounge and we're like, oh, it's just a shitty Hyatt Place buffet. What the hell?
But that's what's so funny. And look, don't get me wrong. If I can get ever access to that special little LAX, you know, hobby hole of a receiving location, I will 100% go and be happy about it. But I just think it's so funny that like it's by and large, like a very nothing burger little sitting space, right? Like seating space. There's just some chairs, a little table, and they do bring out caviar and everything. But like, it's not, I wouldn't look at that and be like, wow, this is so chic. But the fact that it's just like far away from everyone else, it's like, wow, this is the coolest spot in all of LAX. It's a chair. It's like two chairs and some caviar.
But you get to do things like pick up a landline and be like, hi, can we get some coffee and like some caviar?
Yeah.
Thanks.
You have landline.
Stir the caviar in. I just want fish egg coffee. Just bring it to me. Dress it in a caftan. Caviar, go crazy. Caviar.
Yeah. Who said me never?
Here's what I don't want. Coffee dressed in a caftan. Said me never.
Hot coffee summer. I noticed, by the way, when Kyle was packing, she has a big ass landline in her house. And I know I have to assume like, okay, maybe for like security gates and everything like that. But this was like a full on 1994 office phone that was like wide. It was like as wide as like a PS5. And I was like, what's happening with that giant ass phone in Kyle's bedroom? I want to know if anyone else saw that and if they have any theories.
And Kyle's like, oh my God, I have to go on vacation with someone I'm not even talking to. How's that going to work? Rachel's like, do you want a cappuccino? And Dorit finally gets there an hour late. But, you know, it's pretty good for Dorit. It's like, I've had two cappuccinis already. I haven't slept. Let me tell you, PK had an emergency mediation. And he agreed to take the kids while I'm in the Hamptons. Although he didn't pick them up until much later than we agreed upon. But you know what? It doesn't matter because there's nothing that's going to take away the ability to have fun this weekend.
I like how when Dorit says, I've had two cappuccinos already. And Kyle goes, I'm on my third.
Like, wow, you really are. You win. You win, Kyle. But they're all competing because Dorit's like, well, I haven't slept, you guys. And Rachel's like, yeah, me neither. I slept an hour and a half. Oh, my God. God, we're just all beating you today. Sorry. Emergency mediation. We both beat Dorit. So,
guys, I actually slept for like 88 minutes. So it's just like a little bit less time than like the 90 minutes. So like, I don't know, maybe I'm like the most tired here. So now we cross cut with this luxury with to Amanda's house. And Amanda is setting up her table. And Eddie joins her. She's like, hi, Eddie. Like the way she says hello to her children and to Eddie drives me nuts.
hi, sweet thing. So she goes, so you remember how you said Dorit can't come to our house and yell at a table of people in front of our kids and that whole thing? Well, I found out that Kyle and Dorit and Rachel are in the Hamptons this weekend. And he's like, huh. So worst case, we got booze. Huh. She's like, yeah, see, manifestation works. Dorit is 3,000 miles away from me.
Dun, dun, dun. Now, 3,000 miles away in the Hamptons. Kyle and Dorit and Rachel are going to their destination. And Kyle's like, did Amanda invite you guys to a manifestation thing? It's crazy. And
which, by the way, it's really important for me to note this because I went back, I rewound for this exact moment in the recap, which is there was Kyle asked Amanda when Amanda invited her. Kyle asked if she was inviting Dorit, and Amanda was like, I don't know. I think maybe, I'm not sure. I have to think about it, blah, blah, blah. And so Kyle knows that Dorit's not invited. So the fact that she's sitting there and is like, so did everyone get invited to Amanda's thing? I'm like, what a fucker. You're such a fucker. You know Dorit didn't get invited.
Yes, I got invited. It's like, I said the same thing. I said the same thing that I said to Pants the last time they tried it. I declined.
Oh.
Yeah, that's also the same thing that Machine say to Dorit's credit card. Ha! So,
Oh, so she invited everyone but moi. Mm? That's me in Spanish.
Rachel's like, are you devastated? Are you devastated that you're missing the manifestation party? Wow.
Not only am I not devastated. You don't give a shit. Let me just guess. That's the rest of the sentence. Yes, I'm done. I am done and I am done.
And she tells us, Amanda is 40 going on 4. Do you think I'm bothered?
Yeah, you actually did me a favor because I manifested not getting an invite. So think about that. The manifestation in reverse worked out. I manifested not getting invited before you manifested me not being there. So touche.
Let's pretend that that joke just wasn't already made by Amunda. Just keep it in the edit. Let's see who's,
guys, I made the joke
we'll
first,
go
actually.
To the mat with manifestation jokes. Mm.
Guys, I made the joke already. Sorry for interrupting you like 10 times today, Ronnie. Yeah. I'm gonna manifest.
I made that joke like 3 times
you.
Already. So now we go to Rachel's friend's house, and Rachel's like, oh my God, I don't know that I needed like a leash for Dorit. Like, is she going to come in? Like, what the hell? I'm So we meet Suzanne, Rachel's friend, and Pamela, Rachel's sister. And yeah, Rachel comes into this house, which is kind of, you know, it's like nice, but it's like a basic Hamptons house. They all look the same. It's like the houses in Beverly Hills. They all kind of look the same. And she walks in. She's like, oh, my God, this is my happy place. I'm happy here. I'm so happy. This is like, my God, like, it's like a normal foyer, but like in the Hamptons. Totally different.
Literally so happy being back with the cool girls. First of all, Pamela, I feel like Pamela's a throwback to the Rachel Zoe project because I was like, oh my God, I remember Pamela. Second of all, I am going to push back. I think these houses are much nicer than the Beverly Hills houses. I think the Beverly Hills houses are actually trying to copy sometimes the Hamptons look, but this is like Hamptons. So if I had to choose between foyers, I'm choosing the Hamptons foyer for sure. Just want to draw a line of sand on that one, Ronnie.
Yeah. That's okay. I think it looks like another like farmhouse modern remodel house. So Rachel's like, oh my God, you know what I just realized? Holy shit, everybody stop. Foyers are different in the Hamptons. Okay, keep walking. Oh my God, stop. I realized something else. We're all divorced. You guys, like, we're literally all divorced right now. And Kyle's like, actually, I'm separated. So don't call me divorced, please. Please don't call me divorced. And if I was divorced, I would be divorced much more peacefully than all of you. So
I kind of would have the best divorce out of all of you guys. Like, no offense. Rich is like, okay, well, all right, well, we're all husbandless, not together, you know? And Dorit's like, but I filed, and you're the only one that didn't file, Kyle. Ooh, that rhymes. Kyle's like, okay, fine. I guess I'm the only one with like a really peaceful separation that doesn't require filing.
Yeah, like my sister, she's been divorced more than she's like not been divorced. Like, she's been divorced so many years. I was like, do you even remember being married? She's like, you know what, I'm divorcing the idea that I was ever married. I was like, holy shit, you're like double divorced now. It's crazy. She wins.
Yeah, like, oh my God, remember Pamela? Do you know what we were doing this time last year? Do you remember this, Pamela? She's like, I think we were ordering takeout. No, she was taking Ativan from my mother. By the way, Ativan, I also call it what Dorit's doing, because she always hangs out Ativan. Am I right, guys? Anyway, she was taking Ativan for my mother.
That's Dorit's future address. Hey, you guys, where does Dorit live? Ativan.
Down by the river. So she was taking Ativan for my mother, breaking it in half, and trying to put it in my mouth because I couldn't breathe. I was like, I'm sorry. I have this vision of like Rachel being like a little puppy or a cat, like being fed like bad medication. Like, open.
Do not make me put this in a little Vienna sausage and shove it down your throat. Okay.
I can't open my mouth. I can't.
Literally. I can't. You know, I'm too devastated.
I love medication. Said me never. I can't.
And Pamela goes, oh yeah, and where's he now, huh? Just living his best fucking life. That's where he's So she says that it got really bad for her in the summer of 2024. And my sister called me and said, you have to do something different either way, because the way you're living right now isn't working. I just suggest taking whatever you're doing and changing it. Do the opposite, but also still wear caftans. Because like, what are you, a monster? So I did it.
I remember getting to the Hamptons, breathing. And I think in that moment, I was like trying to feel what it was like to be alone. And I knew like almost instantly that that was better. It was actually literally better to sit there breathing in the toxic fumes of the Hampton Jitney exhaust pipe than it was to be with Raj any longer. Yeah.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.